at Rocket, we know buying a home is exciting and a bit overwhelming. Ready to buy a home but stressed about writing those big checks? Rocket can help you save. When you buy with Rocket Homes and finance with Rocket Mortgage, you can get up to $10,000 cash toward closing from Rocket Mortgage. It's a pretty big deal. And one you can get only with Rocket. Visit onlywithrocket.com to get started today.
For purchase transactions only, must log rate between 331 and 831. Call 8337-ROCKET for conditions and restrictions. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 15th day of August 2023. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed this is the voice of the Christian resistance and this is Pledge Week, folks. So we're opening the phone lines right now. We're into this fight to bring America back to one nation under God, and we're not going to quit until we win, because there's no quit in here. You will not find no quit in these people here. Our number to call is 888-281-1110. 888-281-1110, or 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. In the back, you've got on the phones back there already, you've got Randy and Frank and Eric. And in the glass cage here, our producer tonight is none other than Style.
Good evening, Pastor.
And here in the studio with me is Lisa Hickman.
Good evening, everyone.
And way out yonder in Missouri is Pastor Joe Larson.
Surprise, I'm still here, still willing to do this. And I'm glad to be with you guys, ready to, well, fund the ministry this week, right?
We have a huge radio bill that we have to keep up with, but we're trying to bring America back to one nation under God. And so,
hey, they say talk is cheap, Pastor, but you know what? Radio time isn't, right?
Right. And so we're going to, I'm going to be telling the folks to, we need some action. And this is an act. The Bible says, be you a doer of the word, not a hearer only. One of the reasons that America is in the shape that she is apathy and ignorance. Apathy and ignorance, where people fail God. You know, the pulpit, number one, has failed the Lord. The pulpit has failed our Lord miserably. We've had such an extreme dearth of courage from the pulpit. It never should have been that way, but it was. But we can only control what we do here. And so we need to fight with everything we have. There's the opposition out there. The Antichrist system has got some horrible, horrible plans for us. And, of course, the fake news media, NBC, ABC, CBS, they're the anti-Christian news media. They're in with them 110% to aid and abet the anti-Christ communists. So we need to fight with everything we have for our children and their children, if the Lord should tarry. So I need for you to have a pen and paper ready tonight, because you have a bill called the SAFE Act, and it means saving adolescents from experiment, and that's a bill to keep these ghoulish, money-hungry, greedy so-called surgeons from butchering these young children for tons of money. And so we need to get this bill passed. It passed the House, but now it's being held up in the Senate, and that's why I want to give the phone number for the Senate tonight here in Ohio. Now, you don't have to live in Ohio to call the Ohio Senate. You can call them and tell them to get that bill passed, get it to the floor for a vote, and get it into law. And that phone number for the Ohio Senate is 1-800-282-0253. 1-800-282-0253. Just ask for your senators and you folks out there, if you don't live in Ohio, ask for an Ohio senator, a state senator. So anyhow, now after you do this, we have one other thing. Governor DeWine, according to what's on the internet here, said he would veto that bill if it got to his desk. This is outrageous. I just can't believe he would say that, but anyhow, so he needs for you to let him know how you feel about deciding that bill into law the minute it hits his desk, the very minute it hits his desk. And Governor DeWine's phone number is 614-644-4357. His number is 614-644-4357. God's word, the Bible says, be you a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving your own self. And so, folks, I hope you wrote all that down and you get to it tomorrow, because by you doing that, you can save a lot of little children a lot of pain and suffering. We're living in the Bible calls the evil day, or the days of sorrow. But this is the days out here where we run to the battle and we earn our crowns. All right, we want to say that tonight, Pledge Week already. What do we have? Let me see. Donna in San Diego has pledged $25. Thank you, Donna in San Diego. So the phone lines are now open at 888-281-1110. We have to raise a lot of money at 888-677-9673. So, folks, give us a call. Let those lines light up. Joe, we're going to pick up where we left off here. The title of the message was Treason, Traitors, and the Fourth Right. Well, we know who the treason and traitors are today, and we're going to really be looking into more of that as we go through the program. But the Fourth Right are the whistleblowers. Those are the people that do the right thing. Those are the people that make those calls when they need to. Like Abraham Lincoln said, for men to remain silent when they should speak up makes cowards of men and destroys nations. And so let's pick it up in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verses 12 through 17. That's where we're going to go tonight, Joe.
Oh, I thought we were in Judges 4. Okay.
Wait a minute. Maybe we were, didn't we? Didn't we go to, maybe we are in Judges 4. Hang on, maybe I missed one. Yeah, you're right, we are in Judges chapter 4. Okay, in Judges chapter 4, well, let's take it, why don't you read verses 1 through 6, and then we'll do some commentary. We'll pick it up that way.
All right. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud is dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Har-Osheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lappidoth, she judged Israel at that time, and she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramoth and Bethel in the Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment.
Well, here now, what you had, Ehud was one of the judges of Israel, and Eglon was the king of Moab, and he had been had the children of Israel. He had had them in persecution for many, many years, and so the Lord sent Ehud to Eglon, and Ehud went in, and Eglon had a dagger. Well, Eglon was a very greedy one, and so when Ehud went to him and said, "Look, I've got a present for you from the Lord." Well, he understood the Lord of Israel. This guy owns everything. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, you know. And so he told all of his servants. He didn't want any of his servants to see what this present was because he was afraid they might try to get it. He was a very greedy man. So he sent all of his servants out. And so he said, What do you have? And so Ehud took a dagger and stuck it right in his belly and killed him. But God had sent him to do it because he refused to repent. He was a very, very wicked man. He refused to repent. And so now the children of Israel, as soon as things were good, as soon as they were free, as soon as everything started working out fine, just like every time before, when the Lord was blessing them, they turned away from him and basically said, "What do we need the Lord now for?" Right? Beverly in Manhattan just placed 500. Thank you, Beverly.
Manhattan, we haven't gotten too many calls from there, have we?
Manhattan. Actually, we do get quite a bit from Manhattan. We haven't gotten too many this week so far. So now here, we start out here, and Deborah was a very, very remarkable woman. In a number of ways, Joe. First of all, she was one of only five women prophets in the Bible. You had Miriam, you had Huldah, 2 Kings 22. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah's wife. It doesn't mention her by name, but it just refers to the prophetess Isaiah's wife. And then you had Anna, of course, over in Luke chapter 2, Anna. But now you had two false prophetesses out there, too. These were Nodia, and remember in Revelation chapter 3, what it is does he say to that woman, Jezebel?
Jezebel, yeah.
He said, "He's given you plenty space to repent," and she refuses. What did she do? She appointed herself the pastor of a major of a church there, and she was promoting her whoredom, wasn't she?
That and I think everything else that goes with it.
And so now Deborah, again, she had the honor of being one of only five female judges, or female prophets, but now even more than that, she was the only woman ever seen with enough discernment. She had enough discernment to be an actual judge of Israel. And so here, the people came to her for all over because she was known for her wisdom as a very, very wise woman. And so here, we'll pick it up in verse 6.
And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abiram, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, "Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun, and I will draw unto thee the river Kishon. Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand." And Barak said unto her, "If thou wilt go with me, then will I go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go."
All right. Why do you think he said that, Joe?
He wasn't too sure. He thought if she really was telling the truth, she'd be willing to go with him.
Well, he was like co-judges. Now, he had to fight an army. He had to fight a war with his army. Now, in fact, he was the leader, the judge, but the general of six different tribes, Naphtali, Zebulun, Issachar, Benjamin, Ephraim, and Machir. And so he had to, he had quite a war to fight, but at the same time, the judge had to judge the people and listen to the people. So he said to her, look, if you'll go with me and do this, and you take care of that end, I'll take care of the war here. And so she says, yes, I will go. But then she makes a couple of very serious prophecies here. So go ahead and pick it up there.
And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera under the hand of a woman. And Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and he went up with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah with him. Keep going.
Well, now one more verse.
Now, Heber, the Kenite, which was of the children of Hobath, the father-in-law of Moses, had severed himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent under the plain of Zanim, which is by Kadesh.
Okay, so here now, we're going to see several different acts of treason. We're going to see several different acts of what is a treacherous act in the sense where nothing's more treacherous than for a wife to betray her own husband. But if God tells her to do it, you know, then she's justified, right? And so here now we're seeing Heber, the Kenite, he was in confederacy with Sisera. Now, Sisera was the top general for Jabin, the king of Canaan. And so here, as we read, they go out to war, and here Barak defeated Sisera and his armies, and we'll just pick it up here in verse 15. And the Lord discomfited Sisera and his chariots and all his hosts with him with the edge of the swords. Well, I guess he was pretty discomfited, huh?
Yeah.
And Barak.
It was interesting because it's with the edge of the sword before Barak. So does that mean that God was wielding the sword, or Barak and his men were with God's aid?
God made it to where it was going to work out that way, that he was going to win this war hands down. And so when he said, he goes on to say, and then Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet. But Barak pursued after the chariots and after the host unto Hoshareth of the Gentiles. And all the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. How many wars do you see where that happens?
Not very many, but a couple times in Scripture.
Now, you got to remember here that actually Barak was outnumbered against Sisera and his armies. But to lose every single man, right? Now you know.
That's pretty terrible, yeah.
Right. So
no one living, no one surviving.
So now we see howbeit Sisera fled on his feet, and he run to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber. Now, Jael, she was on Barak's side, where her husband, Heber, he was on the side of Sisera.
Hmm.
And so here now, go ahead and pick it up at verse 17.
17, okay. Heber, Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said unto him, Turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not. And when he had turned in unto her into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. And he said unto her, Give me drink. Give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk and gave him drink and covered him. Again he said unto her, Stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be when any man doth come and inquire of thee, and say, Is there any man here? That thou shalt say, No. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent, and took an hammer in her hand, and went softly unto him, and smote the nail into his temples, and fastened it into the ground. For he was fast asleep and weary, so he died.
So now,
old as yeah. Okay.
So I will stop there. Now here, Sisera thought, you know, he was on safe ground. He thought, well, here's the friend, the house of his friend. He was very well known, and he's going to be safe here. Surely no man is going to come and go into that house if the wife says nobody's there. But God knew all about that, didn't he?
Yeah, he knows about everything.
And if you fail to repent, you know, if does God give everybody an opportunity to repent?
Yes, he always gives everyone chances, in fact, more than we deserve.
Right, because, you know, there are people out there that say, and they use passages of scriptures like this to say, you see, you know, how could you justify a God that would allow that? Well, listen, you don't have to justify God. God doesn't need justification, right?
No.
And so here now,
being supreme judge of the universe, he knows the heart of everyone. He knows everything going to happen. He knows what he's going to do, when he's going to do it, because he knew all of it before he ever made mankind.
All righty. John in Texas, Garland, Texas, pledges 50. Thank you, John. Folks, the phones, we got to have some calls. 888-281-1110. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Joe, we're going to play a clip now here. And this clip would be from Tom Fenton. He's going to be talking about the
head of Judicial Watch.
Right. He's going to be talking about what has taken place in Georgia. You know, again, what do we call those bought and paid for, that George Soros bought and paid for? What does the Bible refer to them as?
Whores.
Bought and paid for here. And they're going after President Trump. This is unbelievable. What has taken place, the corruption. These people, now, we're going to find out a little later here in the second hour why are not the Republicans out there, the attorney generals in the different states, why are not the Congress, they not charging the people, these people, these whores with treason? Because they're committing high treason. And why aren't, well, the guy, this fellow is going to answer that to Mike Davis will answer that question in the second hour here. But meanwhile, go ahead and bring her up.
Darryl Baldwin Oates, great musician, and that is Atlanta. Currently the center of political attention. It's 80 degrees there. So we better get back to that Trump indictment. Fulton County, DA, Georgia, Fannie Willis, she wants the trial in 6 months. She also intends to try all 19 of the defendants together. Judicial Watch President Tom Fenton with me now. Why a six-month timetable? That seems politically motivated to me. How about you?
Yeah, in light of the other prosecutions that are pending, you know, I was going through the indictments. Now there are four, five, if you count the superseding indictment by Smith up here in D.C., you know, that's an indictment every month, practically speaking, over the last 5 months. And they've set it up in a way to have what looks to be, in this case, a kind of a circus of a trial, a show trial, of 19 defendants at once. And her demonstrated willingness to do that suggests that she's not taking this any more seriously than many commentators are in terms of the of legalities of what she's pursuing. But, you know, on the other hand, you don't want to be on the wrong end of a criminal indictment. And so all bets are off as to whether President Trump next year is going to be free to campaign without either, A, being harassed by this pursuit by the Democratic Party in three different jurisdictions of him, or you know, maybe they claim him and they are able to jail him in the middle of the campaign. I don't know what's going to happen. And I think responsible officials in the various states and Congress and such need to take action.
Well, will the public perceive this to be fair? Isn't that what this is all about? Is it fair to put a former president on trial four times in a space of, you know, a year, in the middle of a political campaign? How can the audience, how can voters see that as fair?
Well, many voters won't see it as fair, but those voters' views don't count if you're a Democrat in these jurisdictions that are virtually 95% Democrat, certainly here in Washington, D.C., and they're playing to a very different audience. This is power politics. Your vote doesn't count. Your views don't count if you're a critic of this regime politics here. They want to make President Trump a political prisoner. And what's really disturbing is expanding the abuses to innocent citizens down in Georgia who, by all accounts, by her own indictment, were doing nothing other than engaging in electoral politics.
Why try them collectively?
Well, that's, you know, that's a show trial. I mean, are we going to next put them in cages in the trial room for people to throw things at? I mean, this is not a serious prosecution. It's serious if you're on the wrong end of it, as I said. But, you know, the idea that a prosecutor in this day and age would think that in the middle of a presidential campaign, it's appropriate to try to try 19 people at once, three of which she's indicting for acts they committed as federal government officials, as president, as chief of staff, and as a senior official in the Justice Department. What a sham this is.
Yeah. Next one. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre insists the investigations prove Joe Biden did nothing wrong. This is about the Hunter business dealings. Just watch this, Tom. Roll it.
Have been making claims and allegations, right, about president on this front over and over again, and month after month, year after year, they have been investigating every single angle of this and looking at for any evidence to back their allegations. If you ask yourself what we have seen from that, they keep turning up documents and witnesses showing that the president wasn't involved, never discussed these business dealings, and did nothing wrong. There's been zero evidence showing otherwise, and so that's what we have seen over the past several months. That's what we have seen over the past several years, so I'll leave it at that.
Okay. What do you make of that, Tom? And do you think that... No, go ahead, please.
That's the taxpayer defense lawyer for Joe Biden at the White House podium there. It's an exercise in unreality to see her speak. The president's been caught lying repeatedly publicly about his role with Hunter Biden. There's plenty of evidence he benefited financially from this, both directly and indirectly. And of course, you know, Stuart, you don't need to bribe someone directly to be involved in bribery with that person. If the vice president says, "Give the money to my son," and you get a favor, that's bribery too. And of course, there is evidence in the FBI that Joe Biden personally was bribed by Burisma, and he was extorting money from him. So when you have the vice president of the United States send a letter to Hunter Biden's business partner saying, "Thanks for being in business with my son," that shows that what the White House spokesman is saying is a crock.
Okay. We are going to leave it right there, Tom Fitton, but please come back soon because this is an extraordinary situation.
You're welcome.
All righty, we are back. And Loretta in New York pledges 30. Thank you, Loretta. Those numbers are 888 888-281-1110. That's 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Joe, World News Daily has put out an article by Bob Unruh, and it says, many millions believe violence justified to keep President Trump from the presidency again. And here, this article says nearly 12% of Americans, some 30 million or more, say that using violence, force would be justified if that's what is needed to keep President Donald Trump out of the White House. The stunning reveal comes from the organization's Dangers to Democracy, a report in The Guardian. The study done by the University of Chicago, it figures, huh? Project Security. Figures. Threats run in a far-left city and point out that 7% say violence is justified to prevent the prosecution of President Trump. Let me see, 7%, but more than 17% believe it could be used to ensure members of Congress to do the right thing. 12% said it would allow to restore the federal right to abortion and more. So these people, this 12%, these are hardcore communists, are they not?
They are true believers, whatever you want to call them. They're either useful idiots or communists, or, you know, a mixture of both. But the interesting thing is the left was always the side that they used to be, oh, you know, violence was a horrible thing. And now with BLM and Antifa, they are the ones promoting using violence. They're in the middle. We're having an insurrection in this country, but it wasn't January 6th. It was the summer riots with Antifa, BLM. It is what's going on now, where they're allowing criminals back on the street without bail. They're allowing all these millions of aliens, illegal aliens, to cross into the country. They can be terrorists. They can be gangsters. They could be Chinese soldiers. They could be Muslim terrorists. We don't know what's coming over. And so they're really, it's one of those things, whatever they are accusing, they're doing it. And they're saying that violence would be acceptable to stop Donald Trump from destroying America.
Well, we've had...
It had this narrative.
Right.
He's going to be the death of the country, not the savior.
We've had a revolution going on in this country for many, many years now. But
yes,
it really took off when Barack Hussein Obama got into the White House. And he went in there...
Started changing it from the inside out.
Right. He came in there, absolutely started purging any and all patriots, any and all patriots. Patriots were the enemy, and replaced them with hardcore communists. And I mean, some real crazies there.
Well, I remember you and I going, look at what he's doing now. Look at what he's doing
every
now.
Day for 8 years. We did that.
Yeah, he started handing out weapons and badges to people in Department of Transportation, Department of Education. And now we've got these thousands of IRS agents. He wants them all armed. That was all Barack Obama's idea, to build up a army as big and powerful as the military that would support the government.
And who had that idea first, before anybody else? And you find it in the book, The Naked Communist.
Cleon Skousen.
Well, he wrote the book. The one who had the idea was Karl Marx.
I'm sorry. Yeah, he was the one that did.
It was Karl Marx that put that.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
This whole idea about having...
was the one that told the world what Marx was saying and what he meant. He was the one that warned the world.
Absolutely. And so here now, this 12% that say it would be good to use violence against Trump, what do you think? Do you think maybe there's about 30% to think it would be all right to use violence to get that 12%? Because these people are the enemies of America. Remember the first thing that Obama did? He started purging all of the top generals. He purged 11 four-star generals. He purged over 260 flag officers in the military.
All the Christian conservatives.
Absolutely. Anyone who was a patriot. Now, it was those 11 four-star generals and others that were the ones that encouraged Trump to run for the White House. Trump had things pretty good. He didn't need to run for the White House. He was living high on the hog, okay? And these were the people that convinced him to run and take the country back. And, you know, he did it because he loved America. And have you ever known any other president in our lifetime that refused to take a salary?
No.
There you go. So he definitely wasn't in. He's lost a lot of money by being in the White House, hasn't he?
He's lost a huge amount of money, and the attorney bills and everything he's put up with, it's been a huge loss. Not only was he not making money, he has spent so much money taking, you know, protecting himself. It's unbelievable.
All right. Mary from Ohio pledges $400. Thank you, Mary. Thank you. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. And so, again, here, we're in a war. And again, it's not the Chinese. Chinese are enemies. No doubt about it. And Joe Obama Biden has brought in hundreds of thousands of Chinese nationals into this radio, into this country, into America, to help take over. And these people, they're all planning on voting in this next election, but they're in here, they're waiting for the signal. Joe Biden has committed high treason, and these people should be charged with high treason against America.
Well, what's the first duty of the President of the United States is to what? Law and order, protect the Union, right? Protect the United States. And having open borders is not protecting. Having an invasion of criminals and drug smugglers and terrorists, I mean, that's not protecting the nation. So right there was, we would be justified in impeaching him, throwing him out.
Right. But what's happening, and we're going to find out in the second hour, we've got a problem with so many of the Republicans out there, their attorneys, state attorney generals, just something that's got some courage. But even in the Congress and especially in the Senate, we've got a handful of Republican senators that have, you know, that are men, that are worth something. But the vast majority of them are not. Okay?
Well, look at Mitch McConnell. His wife, his family has all kinds of ties to China. They've made millions of dollars with business deals with China, and we call Joe Biden China Joe. Well, it's China Mitch, and many of these other senators have sold their souls for filthy lucre's sake, and it's all about the money and the power. But I was just looking, Alan Dershowitz, who is no conservative, he said the most dangerous threat to democracy is this new legal precedence that they are trying to go bring against former President Donald Trump there in the Georgia grand jury indictment. He said what they want is to bring quick convictions to keep Trump from running in the 2024 election, setting a legal precedent that would create the most dangerous threat to democracy. Now, this is a man who voted for Biden, but he still, on issues like this, tells the truth. He said the four of the charges brought, he said, including the violating Georgia's Racketeer Influence and Corrupt Organizations Act, RICO Act, are among the weakest he's ever seen. And he said the reason being what they're trying to do, he said, I used to teach my students. Many of these people have become future prosecutors. If you bring a RICO case, that increases your chance of winning at trial, but increases your chances of losing on appeal. It's made to bring a quick conviction, but most of the time they're overturned because they're so hard to bring. And what he's coming out in the article, long story short, Trump's going to win on appeal. They're going to convict him, but he'll win on appeal. But the conviction will be there before the election, before the vote, and he probably won't get the appeal where he's cleared till after the election. So he said, this is what they're up to, folks. This is about as dirty politics as you can get.
They're pushing for a civil war.
And a republic.
They're pushing for a civil war. The idea is if the war breaks out and Joe Obama is going to declare martial law and he's going to have all of the Chinese troops and whatever. Folks, I'm not kidding you, to back him up out there and to come against our country, to reduce America to third world status. Look, here's what you have. Just like the third world banana dictatorships, you've got Joe Obama Biden there going after trying to put his competition, the fellow that his opponent, in jail. This is what they do in third world countries. You got a hardcore communist. We saw this in Venezuela. We saw this in Cuba. We've seen
Argentina.
Right. And so, and again, Joe Obama Biden takes his orders from China. He's been taking his orders from China. He has been selling America out daily. And
right.
So,
and what I mentioned the other night, I'll repeat tonight, the reason all these other people were charged, you know, Rudy Giuliani and the attorneys and all these other people, Mark Meadows, everybody, was the idea that Fannie Willis, the district attorney, wants to charge all of these 19 people together. And the idea, there are 41 charges, and they said Trump could face 71 years if they were convicted. He was convicted of everything. But the idea is to make a big show, to tie up money, and to threaten anybody that supports Trump. Look, if we can do this to Trump, we can do it to supporters of Trump. And if we can do it to people like Giuliani and Mark Meadows and all these people, we can do it to you. Sidney Powell, that's what they're doing, is they're trying to win by intimidation and fear and keeping anybody from standing up to defend Donald Trump. So they are just trying the old-fashioned intimidation that gangs and crooked people have been using since the beginning of time.
Well, you know, this is why, again, they need to have every one of these Soros whores need to be charged with treason. They're charging, they're committing the very same crimes. Jack Smith has been committed, and you mentioned Dershowitz. Dershowitz said that Smith has committed the exact crimes that he's accusing Trump of. But these aren't crimes. You know, they're trying to charge Trump. They're saying that Trump knew that there was no election fraud. Now, anyone and everyone that would say that was a fair election and that election wasn't stolen is a liar, and there's no truth in them. And I'm not a lawyer, but I could take any one of them and put them on a witness stand and prove different, because we saw mounds and mounds and mounds of evidence right in your face. In Georgia, one of the corrupt southern states, you saw the films. It was all over TV. We showed it. Now, you wouldn't see this on NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN for obvious reasons, but we showed it. You saw it on the Internet. You saw it on Fox News and other places where here they closed the doors. Once the poll workers went home and they pulled out all of these boxes they had under the table of phony suitcases full of phony ballots.
Yeah.
We saw in Detroit. In fact, I have an article here about, well, this is a good one here. The Muskegon cover-up, Gateway Pundit investigators visit registration fraud Epic Center and find FBI has stalled the investigation and silenced officials. No prosecutions in 3 years. Now, the FBI has been weaponized. They have become nothing more than a protection racket. They're extremely corrupt from that DOJ and the FBI, extremely corrupt. And they've become nothing less than a protection racket for the Communist Party, for the Biden crime cartel, the Biden crime family. And so, you know, that's one of the...
it's the whole government crime family, because look at the million Zuckerberg was, you know, handing to these local election committees that were all doing nothing but promoting Democrat candidates, voting, get out the vote.
All right.
And we had the Hunter Biden story.
Right. 888-281. The phone's got to get ringing, folks. They've got to get ringing. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Claude in PA pledges 50. Thank you. Susan in Michigan pledges 100. Thank you. We got to hear from you, folks. We're running out of time. Right now, we've only got an hour left. We got an hour left, and we are way away from our goal tonight. So, again, the number is 888-677-9673. Joe, we're going to take a quick look at some of what you won't find. You won't hear this at NBC, ABC, CBS, or CNN. And this is the Greg Reese report on Maui. So can you bring that on up here?
Survivors of the Maui fire say that they received no warning and that the flames appeared so quickly that escape was difficult. Everything was suddenly in flames, and many found refuge in the ocean for hours while their homes burned to the ground and into the same powdery ash footprint we've seen in recent years. So far, it is estimated that nearly 1,000 people have died. Locals are worried this includes hundreds of children who were home due to school being canceled that day. Several people are reporting that the government is not only doing little to help, but they are blocking local efforts to do so and are not allowing local donations through, and that they are blocking life-saving medicine because it isn't federally approved.
Denying people access to bring in supplies, just supplies for people to live.
The government withholding every single one of our donations because we are not a part of FEMA and Red Cross. So none of this is eligible for giving out. Tell me why. I have no freaking clue.
The people of Maui are on their own for now. And aside from the federal government's bureaucratic failure, they have good reason to be suspicious. Just like what we saw 5 years ago in Paradise, California, there was nothing normal about these fires. Within a day of burning, it was like a bomb went off.
When you see the full extent of the destruction of Lahaina, it will shock you. It does appear like a bomb and fire went off, if I may. And all of those buildings virtually are going to have to be rebuilt. It will be a new Lahaina.
Local residents have been reporting bright flashes of light. One was captured by a home security camera that appears to have been the start of the Olinda fire. Many people are saying that it was directed energy weapons. We know that most major governments already have them. And during the California fires, online weather maps recorded what looks like a laser from above, striking an area just before it bursts into flames. In his research, Dennis Mills discovered that the incendiary aluminum and barium nanodust from chemtrails is most likely fueling the ferocity of today's so-called super wildfires. And on the day before the Maui fires broke out, locals were reporting a heavy overcast from chemtrailing that they'd never seen before. It's also interesting to note that the Maui police chief was the incident commander for the Las Vegas mass shooting in 2017. Lahaina is considered to be a historic and sacred land. It was the capital of the Kingdom of Hawaii before it was taken by the United States. It's been occupied by native Hawaiians ever since, who are defiantly opposed to the mainland outsiders who have been buying up land with no respect for local culture. Not just BlackRock and Vanguard, but billionaires like Mark Zuckerberg, who owns more land on Kauai than what the government of Kauai owns, and Oprah Winfrey, who has bought over 1,000 acres of land in Hawaii, including a new 870 acres in Maui she just bought this spring. In 2018, the Paradise wildfires broke out exactly where the United Nations have plans to somehow make off-limits to humans. And that same year, a report on wildfire prevention was published that was focused on the exact same areas in Maui where the fires just broke out.
all the historic downtown, all of it is demolished and all the houses gone. But those commercial big box stores are still there.
Hawaii Governor Josh Green has been putting the World Economic Forum's Great Reset agenda ahead of Hawaiian interests. Just weeks before the fire, he unveiled an emergency proclamation on housing that eliminates the traditional land use commission, allowing the government more leeway to build as they see fit, such as building 15-minute smart cities run by artificial intelligence, just like they've been planning to do in Hawaii for years.
At some point, I will make a major donation after all of the smoke and ashes have settled here and we figure out what the rebuilding is going to look like. This is going to be a long and difficult process. You're going to see a lot of Phoenix stories rising from the ashes here.
Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
You know, Joe, first of all, folks, right now would be a great time to call, because in the second hour, we have a clip that you're going to want to listen to. But so right now would be a great time, a very good time, to call in for a pledge. We definitely have to hear from you tonight. So the number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673 or 888-281-1110. Again, 888-281-1110. Now is a good time to call. Joe, we mentioned in their high-energy weapons, and Maui is right where that high-energy, that weapon that the United States has where it takes down drones, where they use energy beams to take down, and concentrated light beams to take down drones, where it could take down hundreds of drones at one time. And that was situated right there in Maui, right there where all of this stuff happened. Now, also, something very, very strange, because we had people, we talked about this yesterday, that I was listening to these fellas that were there, and I watched them, they were there, and they said, look, there's all kinds, there's tons of food, tons of medicine, tons of clothes, tons of everything for the people that are homeless, that are wandering around homeless out there, but they're not giving it to them, and they said it's the military. They were saying it was the military that was holding all of this stuff up. There's something that they don't want people seeing. There's something that they don't want people finding out there. Now, combine that with this, Joe. There was no warning. Purposely, Joe, there was a fellow who was announcing, and I was listening to him, and he understood that what he was saying when he said that he started to say they wouldn't allow the sirens, they wouldn't allow, but then he stopped. After that, he said they did not use the sirens, they did not use the warning system, but he started to tell the truth there, that they weren't allowed. Why not? What was it? Is it because of all of these very, very wealthy people who want to buy up this land? What is going on there? We know one thing. We cannot trust the government. I mean, you've got to be, the government is not on our side. It's not government of the people, by the people, for the people. It's government against the people today. The enemy is within. And so here, folks, this is what's happening now. We need to hear from you very quickly. Call at 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. That's 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. We're coming up from a break. When we come back, we got a very interesting clip. Be right back.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 4465. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.